Well, we're going to start another study, and it's the title is just on it as pressure, and it. And we're going to start that. Do anybody have memory verses that they want to tell me?
1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for sin.
Okay. Good. Good. Now, is this recording? It says record on it, but...
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Okay, is it still working?
Yes.
This is going to be harder than I thought. I've been dropping things. I don't know what's going on there. I have to find out. Okay, well, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And if somebody would read, Tana, you're the somebody here. Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 and 26.
If you could. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Okay, well, it describes a time that there's going to be a lot more pressure. On Tuesday night, we're just going to enter into the seven seals. That's not seals like clapping like an animal, but the seven seals. Or it's not a movie, right? Everybody's making movies about Navy SEALs nowadays. But it is a time that is going to have great pressure on it, but... Many people are under pressure. I like this study because it relates to something that we've been going through a lot more concerning balance in one's life. But this is now speaking of pressure. I'll read along with me. It says, pressure, according to the experts, is one of the 20th century's biggest problems. According to the text we read, it appears to take its toll. It would seem that we... with all of man's devices and supposed progress, he would come up with a pressure-free society. Instead, the achievements of our age have only increased the pressures. Just the speed at which we travel today is producing things unheard of 100 years ago. We complain of jet lag because we just flew coast to coast in the time it took our pioneers to hitch up their teams. Life in the fast lane has its drawbacks, and then it gets considered... the problem, the producers of pressure, positive points, and prevention plan. And so, as I've mentioned before, I'm very interested in this because I see it the same way. I see that many of our modern conveniences that saved us time, I got to get this so I won't knock it off again, actually do save us time. But we do something with that time that we saved. Okay, so what do? You add something else, right? You add another thing. You add another. So I tell of my mother because there's a few of us here that understand this. You know, when they used to wash clothes with a scrub board. Have you ever seen one or know about that, right? And then they went to this... thing that really, I mean, you know, the automatic washer, it agitated like this, kunk, kunk, kunk. It didn't have any lid or anything, it just went like this, and then it had a ringer. And as a kid, I can remember that ringer because, of course, you have to put your fingers in there, right? But all that did for my mother, it saved her time. It really did. It saved her a lot of time, and then there was clothes dryers, right? You didn't just hang them up. Downstairs in the wintertime, there would be clothes dryers, but then you put something else in it. And that's what we're still doing. We're still doing that. And the end result is that our lives are so filled with things to do that we have no time or very little time to relax, to enjoy the Word, to meditate upon these things and everything. And all of us are subject to this. We're all part of the system because we've grown up in this age. And we have to understand that it's okay to roll back some, and you're not slothful if you do. But I can say that and I can preach it, but getting people to believe it and to do it is totally a different thing. And I have to say in my own life that I have rolled back, and it's okay. It is okay. It's okay not to have anything to do. You say, oh man, that's lazy. No, you can just relax. It's okay. It can just kick back just a little bit. And you say, oh man, no, by the sweat of your brow. You could use all these excuses, but you're the one that's, you know, you've built up there's so much pressure in your day is so filled that you don't have time for the things that matter. And that's really what we're trying to get to. So if I don't get a blank, let me know, okay? So here's the definition. The state of being squeezed or crushed, you know, between a rock and a hard place, right? Up the creek with what? Without a paddle, right? Yeah. That which afflicts the body or depresses the spirit. Any severe affliction, distress, calamity, or grievance. Urgency as the pressure of business. Pressure is occasioned by weight or gravity, but the expansion of fluids by elasticity. But anyways, rather than get into the textbook definition, how many of you think that there's pressure in your life? Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure in your life. Yeah, there's several things that add pressure to your life. And here's four or five people that came in here. They've got a lot of pressure in their life, right? Yeah, they're going to school. Doesn't all the girls, they're going to school, and then when they get home, they have to help you with all the housework, and they do all the cooking. No? Do they? One's saying yes and one's saying no here. She's not going like this, but I could see it in her eyes. She said, no, that's not how it's doing. But so there's all this pressure and these things that are going on. How many of you have ever had a breakdown that you broke down? Now, there's mini breakdowns. That's when you just core dump a little bit and you're okay in a couple days. And then there's bigger ones that, you know, it takes you a month or two. And then there's major ones that might take you a year or two to recover, right? But how many of you have ever had that kind of pressure that you feel like you're just about ready to lose it? Anybody? I have. Yeah, you have? That's a little hand. Does that mean a little one? You have a little one? Yeah, I'm not getting into this, Dana. No. I can get into trouble, right? That's right. So we're talking about pressure that's on you. You're on a lot of pressure, right? You're going to school. Yeah, and they want to teach you facts that you don't care about, right? You know, all that other stuff and everything. Well, that's what you were saying, right? You're going to school and they're trying to teach you theory and you don't care. You just, that's right. Yeah, and so there's all this pressure that is there. Now, age has something to do with it, but a lot of times it just builds and it builds and it's built. And then there's certain results that come from that. We'll get into some of the results. And I do think I might have one more copy of this study here on pressure. Tim, would you just hand that back so that they could have a couple to share? Yeah, you could take it out of there if you want to and have it for your very own. So it says here, psychiatrists are wealthy. I've always thought that if I wasn't saved, I could be a shrink. Yeah. And because I think most of them are crazy too, so it's sort of like most social workers first out of, you know. Anyways, I don't want to get into that. And there's a whole bunch of psychopathic killers out there, right? Yeah, there is, you know. There's a lot of weird people in this world. Some of them are creating genocide in Central Africa right now. There's professional suicides, everybody. I think it was Denmark that they just voted in child euthanasia. Okay, they had voted in euthanasia for old people when they had certain critical. Now they've voted in that they could do it with younger people too. And I don't know where that's going to result if you... they took surveys, just this has nothing to do with it, but they did take surveys from the doctors there. And there was a 15, I think it was 15 to 17% of them said that they didn't follow the law when they had put people to death. So that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Scares me, because I'm getting at the age they might just choose me. You're gone, right? Anyways, professional suicide, parental runaways, parent runaways, okay? Not just child runaways. We know about children runaways, but then also parent runaways. Believe me, I've talked to a lot of people that have said, you know, I want to run away, you know. But that's all of that, or they want to get out of their job, they want to get out of their situation, they want to get out of their marriage. There's so much pressure going on that they're at the point of that they get desperate. And when you're desperate, then you know, there are certain things that happen the way that the mind works. Anyways, so we're going to go. It says, being a Christian does not immunize us from pressure. Often it intensifies it. Now, How does it, being a Christian, intensify it? The pressure that's on you.
Maybe because we know how we're supposed to
be. Well, that's true. Yeah, we have a standard of lifestyle and things that we know we should be, and so we're the failure aspect of that. Yeah. Anything, any other way? Yeah. Well, I too think along that same lines is that you're trying to be a witness to your people at work. You're very conscious of what they think of you. You know, as a Christian, you want to be a good thing, and that increases the pressure. It doesn't immunize us from it at all. And so, anyways, being a Christian does not, we are just as much under that, if not a little bit more. So we're going to go under the physical, and that's a system. A physical response to pressure is seen in heart-related problems. Now, we're calling it pressure here. What's another word for the pressure? What does it cause when all this is coming on in you? What does it cause you?
Stress.
Yeah, stress-related problems, right? A lot of pressure is on you, so there's stress-related problems. With the young people, there's many, many people that in our area, it seems like there is a lot of suicide in our area. It seems that way to me. We always hear about this person committing suicide and this person committing suicide. And but there's this physical response. And go to Luke 21. Well, we already went there, didn't we? Yeah, we already read that, Luke 21 through 25, their hearts failing. But I put in, I hope I copied this properly, Luke 10:41. So go there. Rachel, would you get that? Luke 10:41. And then Cam, if you would get Philippians 4:6. That's not part of your on yours, but I just wrote it off to the side here. Read Luke 10:41.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.
Yeah, careful and troubled, right? That's right. And so there's a lot of things that we're careful and troubled about that put this pressure onto us. And we have a physical response to that. And there is heart-related problems, but truly, the more research that they do into this, the stress that is in your life, some stress is good. Okay? Now, a little bit of stress, when you go up to do something, or, you know, you're going to jump off the ski jump, that's what you were talking about, right? Whatever, you get tense and, you know, you boost up a little bit and all this other stuff. And maybe in certain instances, a little bit of stress isn't bad. And no one ever said a little bit of stress will kill you. But we're under a lot more stress than we realize. And so it continues on. And so we don't need to be careful, right? Careful about many things. And what was her sister doing during this time? Yep, sitting at the feet of the Lord, not cumbered about with much serving, right? But at the feet of the Lord, and the Lord actually said she chose the good thing, right? And so that's something for you to consider in your own Christian walk on how you're doing things. But how about Philippians 4:6?
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God.
Okay, be careful for nothing. It's talking about be anxious or worried about nothing, okay? And in other words, it doesn't say don't care for anything, okay? That's not what it's talking about, but be anxious about things. And many people are very anxious, they're cumbered about, and it is driving them and putting more pressure on them day by day by day. And so what ends up happening is that long-term effect, not only on your heart, believe me, it's all your immune system, all the way that stress causes you difficulty. And a lot of times it does affect youth also, with ulcers and other different nervous disorders. I hope none of you are washing your hands all the time and repeatedly doing things like that. But if you are, come talk to me later, okay? And please, understand that there is this physical pressure that's on there. And as Christians, the Bible is teaching us that we're not to have all these factors driving us. Because if they do, you'll get imbalanced. You'll get out of sync with what the Lord would have you to do. Now there's under the program, under B, it's schedule. I had a guy at a Beaver Valley Baptist Church that he was so busy that he had in his schedule down to the 5-minute increments. Now think about that. Down to the 5-minute increments. And he was so frustrated with it. He built the schedule down to all these things, and he says, I can't keep my schedule. And my answer to that was, you have made a plan that you cannot commit, you can't complete. Nobody's going to be that good, believe me. And so your schedule, the routine, responsibilities of life, job-related, commuting, conditions, home duties, right? Home duties. How many, ladies, how many do you have a job that you work? That you're working outside the home, okay? Home duties, you got the home duties, and then you got, and isn't it, now I'm going to speak to the ladies here because I noticed a sore spot with them. And so when you come home, right, most of the time your children and your husband, do they say, oh man, she just worked today, I think I'm going to help her, you know, and they're all volunteering to help you do the laundry and the cooking and, you know, all these other things, right? Well, I hope so. But most of the time they don't, right? And there's all this pressure that comes on. It is. It's the demands for service. Now, that's a schedule. How about the service serving the Lord? And Mark 6, 30 through 34. Now, this is a real long portion of Scripture. And this is going to take us a couple of weeks to get through, I believe. But let's actually read. I want to point out something because I changed some of the references in the study here. And I'll show you why in just a minute. So go to Mark 6, and then we're going to read from 30 to 45, okay? Mark 6:30, and then we're going to go to verse 45. So if you got your Bible with you? No, he's sleeping, see? See, that's how much pressure he's in. He couldn't sleep last night yet. Okay, Mark 6:30, and then why don't you read a couple verses, and then we'll go right back this way, and take a couple verses each or something until we get to verse 45, okay? But really pay attention to what's going on here. Go ahead.
And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there are many comings and goings, and they had no leisure as much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately.
Oh, me?
Yes.
And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things.
And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him, and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.
He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?
And he said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all.
And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people.
Okay. Okay, so he sent away the people, but think about what is just happening here. In verse 31, he went and he said, "We need to. You just were out ministering. All these things were done. They came to report to him." He said, "Let's separate ourselves and, you know, have some rest here." But immediately there was more people that wanted his ministry, and he didn't say no. He fulfilled their ministry and the apostles with them. And then they went all that through all of that. Then they fed the 5,000, and then there was still these people. And then he sent away the apostles on a ship at night. And there's much more that's going to happen there. Basically, what I'm saying is that verse. A lot of times, people use that verse to say that Christ gave his apostles rest, but in fact, he said, "Yes, let's rest." But then the demands of service on them. He went and did minister to the people. I guess what I'm trying to tell you in this, that a lot of times service and ministering to people can put a great demand on your life also. And if you're maxed out already, then when those kind of instances come, it brings you over the hump, and many people then will blame ministry. But I personally believe what the real problem is that they're overtaxing themselves to begin with, and they've left no room for ministry in their life. And so consider these things as we go on. There's a pressure from peer pressure. Any of you know peer pressure? Yeah? Yeah? I'll tell you. You know, you young people have peer pressure at the college? Yeah? I don't know. We'll see. Are you going to allow them to... make their hair blue and purple? No, they don't want to, huh? No. There's a peer pressure for that, isn't it? I saw a lady with blue hair. It was a pretty blue. Actually, it was that color blue that's on your sweatshirt there. Yeah, it was like that, and I went, whoa, man, that's really, I've never seen that color hair before, and I thought I'd seen them all. But they were there. There's a lot of peer pressure. Pressure to conform to fashion and philosophy. A lot of people just... embracing Christianity at the college? No. Matter of fact, there's a peer pressure just the opposite, isn't it? Just the opposite to do that, yeah. It's changed so much in the last 100 years. Remember we last 100 years? I know 100 years sounds like a long time to you guys. But you have to understand that in the Ivy League schools in the United States and New England and those things that where I was raised, that the main colleges were started as Christian colleges. Harvard, all of them. They were started, Brown University, all of those were started, a lot of the Ivy League schools. And so there was a positive peer pressure, I call it. But anyways, there was a peer pressure nonetheless. And the fashion, well, I'll tell you, that's really wild. Pressure to conform to a standard of living. Keep up with the Joneses, I call it, right? That's what everybody says, that unless you have all the toys, there's something wrong with you. You mean you don't have, you know, these kind of things, right? There is that pressure. And then, of course, it continues on, and it says pressure to conform to success indicators. To success indicators. Let me ask you something. What is success? You think about it in your life. Think about what you consider success. And then I can take from whatever you consider success, and I can see. Honestly, you can relate. You can do it too, but you can relate what pressures you to go in this direction or that direction. Some people, it's education. They've been in school 15, 20 years. As a matter of fact, they, you know, once they get their post-hole digger, that's PhD, they go ahead and get something else. They're professional students, but that's success to them, right? That's where it's success. Another, it's what? What's this an indicator of? Do you know what this is when people go like this? Oh, you do? What does that mean? It means money. That's what they mean. I don't know where that... somebody has to look that up. But that's a little, they go like that, and it means money. I think maybe because you take dollar bills or something and you rub them together or something. I don't quite know what that means. Anyways, there might be other meanings for it now, but that's what his intent was. And anyway, so what is success in your life? Is it having so much money in the bank? Really? Okay. What is... you gave up on that one, huh, Dane? Yeah, you know, same here. At certain points, you know, you go, this is really not going to happen, right? Yeah. So I'm thankful for that. But what is success in your life? See, as Christians, we're trying to get that well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's success. And if you can get that from the Lord, because you're only going to be on this earth for a short time, and that would be great success. So anyways, there's all of these things. Again, this is true in Christian circles also. We know so many of them, but in Romans 12, who's the next one to read? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Is that how it starts out? Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong verse, huh? Who's got the next verse? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I don't know where it stopped.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Amen. That's a great verse, isn't it? So you're not supposed to be conformed to this world, and we aren't supposed to be going down the same road and following the same patterns of the world. And you're going to understand that these things will put pressure on you, they will continue to put pressure on you, and they start driving you. And so they become the driving force in your life. And then a lot of times when you're younger, your body is strong enough to stand it. Now, not all the time, but a lot of times you can. But right now, they say that this pressure really begins to show itself when you turn 50. Now, I know it shows itself in other people earlier, but I'm saying when you turn 50, all of a sudden, it seems like your body says, woo, this pressure, this stress that I've been under is hurting me, and a lot of things start to crop up after that are stress-related induced. Or at least maybe if they're not induced, they are enhanced. Maybe that's a better word. And so there's all this pressure. So young people, don't think that you're getting away with it. Pressure and stress is like smoking. Did you know I smoked for years? I started smoking when I was about 12 years old. And I smoked until I was 30. And the reason that it was always there is the long-term effects of smoking don't show themselves right away. It takes years sometimes for it to show. And so you think you're getting away with something. And so younger people, I'm trying to tell you, stress is the same way. The short-term effects, sometimes you don't notice, but there is a long-term effects with pressure and stress that is under you when you're following after the world's ways, and you have to do that. Now, we have representative from China and Hong Kong, right? Yeah, Hong Kong, right? Yeah, because, all the rest, right? See, there's this big fight. I happen to know that they're Taiwanese, right? Yeah. You know that China thinks that Taiwan is like their property. Taiwan does not agree. Taiwan says, no. Sorry. No. And there's this. So I can tease them a little bit. But anyways, there's a lot of pressure to perform in Taiwan and in China. And many of the men, and Japan too, they're working, men are working hours, and ladies too, hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. But it will have its effect on your body. So anyways, don't conform to it. We're supposed to be able to live life and that more abundantly, right? Do you think that abundantly means that we'd get more in a day than the average person and do more? I don't know. Abundance, being able to enjoy life, you know, in some ways, really. Take it, it's okay. Now I'm going to harp a little bit longer. You parents need to not be so engulfed and controlled by gaining things that you neglect to bring up your children. And the way that you bring up your children is you don't send them to somebody else and all these things that you keep them busy with. You need to spend time with your children. You need to have fun with your children. And you can. Spend time with them. Enjoy. Let them get to know you. So that when you get older, they won't run away and hide from you. It'll be a real blessing to you. Okay, we got 5 minutes. Personal. Then there's the things put on by self. Setting unattainable, I'm sorry, I gotta spit it out. Setting unattainable goals. The best plan that you can make is a flexible one. That's how I best determine. But so many people, they make a plan that, how many of you keep lists that they can't keep? They can't keep this plan. How many of you are list keepers? You got lists, huh?
Maker.
Yeah, list maker.
There's
and
a difference.
The what?
There's a difference between the list maker.
Yeah, 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 right. Yeah, I'll tell you how much difference there is, about this much difference. When the list is not done at the end of the day, so you got lists, right? You got all these lists and everything, and if it's not done at the end of the day, do you feel a failure? Now, if you feel a failure, then you feel a failure, you say, oh man, I should have done this, I was lazy, oh, I'm no good, whatever it might be that you come up with, that is not what you want. That is not there. Lists are good, I guess, in some ways. I have a list somewhere. But you need to understand that you put this pressure on yourself. There's nothing wrong with having a schedule. There's nothing wrong with performing certain things, but at so many people, they make so many lists, and there's no way they're going to get them done. And so they feel they fail, or they feel they're a failure. Setting unattainable goals. Making unnecessary vows. Oh, by the way, setting unattainable goals, it can have its root in pride and carnality. Making unnecessary vows. Okay? Now this is, I've done this with several people when I'm counseling them, and I hand them a note. And on the note it says, the pastor says, it is okay to say no. Because they say yes to everything. So if you're already maxed out, right, you're maxed out, and I'd go, hey man, I really need some help. And you'd go, okay, I'll help you, right? You know, and then you find yourself, you're supposed to be here on Tuesday and you're supposed to be doing the same thing and you're saying yes to everybody, right? And you do it. No, it's okay. You're making unnecessary vows. Now, what do you think is the root of saying yes to everybody? What do you think it is? The Lord wants you to say yes? Let me see if I know a verse. Thou shalt say yes to everybody. Let me see. I couldn't think of one. What do you think it is? What causes us to say yes to everything?
You're a people pleaser.
Yeah, you're a people pleaser. And the motivation is fear of rejection, right? Or somehow they're not going to like you or whatever. You know, there's some twist in there. But really, yeah, it's that way. And you can't be that. You need to be a God pleaser. Okay, please the Lord. And sometimes that means that you have to say no. Even, I'm going to call it, in more difficult times, because you know you can't perform it. And yeah, I bet you're fixing cars, right? Yeah. Anybody that has things like that, because you know you have this pressure. And even amongst the saints, you almost feel obligated to feel yes, right? Or to say yes. Yet, you have to examine that and make sure you're not saying yes to this person, so you're helping them, and then neglecting what the Lord would have you do during that time. So there is this proper balance between all of this, all of these fears, and you need to find that and then live within it. So the resisting, and then there's the personal pressure of resisting the old nature. Who, you know, anybody know what the old man is? Yeah, that's the old man. We call it the old man. In Hebrews 12:4, it says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Oh my, and it is true. But there, we have this old nature. See, as Christians, we believe that there's the human nature, the carnal nature, right? And this is, it wants to be satisfied. It wants its own way. It is motivated by lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's motivated by that. And then we have the new creature, the creation by God. And it's this new man within us. And the old, trying to resist that old man all the time, right? That gets a pressure. Now, I can give you a hint with the old man. Don't feed him, and he'll have less strength in your life, right? And each one of us know what area we're weak in, don't you? That you know there's this tendency for you to go back into the old nature. There, like we're prone to it almost, more so than other people. And each one of us, I think, are individualistic in this way. So you don't feed that. Right? If a guy has a lust of the eyes problem, his internet time has to be very guarded, doesn't it? Because on the internet, you see things and it'll feed that lust, right? And so you do that. I'll use that as an example. Okay, well, it's quarter after. So I'm going to mark this and we're going to finish this next week. And the Lord bless you in this. So let's close in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for so great salvation. We thank you, Lord, that your Bible has a remedy for this, a course of action. And Lord, as we bring this out clearer and clearer, I do pray, Father, that we would examine ourselves. Lord, and if there's pressures that are really diverting us from following what you call a priority and the transforming and renewing of our mind, I pray, Father, that we would lay it aside and that you would bless and strengthen us in the Spirit. So be with us now as we go our way. Amen.